नमस्ते, सुस्वागतम एंड वेलकम टू वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम ज्ञान गंगा ऑन आवर विराट हिंदुस्तान संगम सोशल मीडिया चैनल। वी आर बैक आफ्टर टू संडे ब्रेक्स एज आवर VHS टीम एंड डॉक्टर सुब्रमण्यम स्वामी वाज ट्रैवलिंग टू पार्ट्स ऑफ उत्तर प्रदेश एंड बिहार। सो वी आर बैक ऑन द फर्स्ट संडे ऑफ मार्च टू बी विथ यू एंड टू डिस्कस एन इम्पॉर्टेंट टॉपिक टूडे। And today's is episode number 225, and the topic is, did the 1947 independence and partition sanction India as a Hindu Rashtra? And in the next 45 minutes to an hour, Dr. Subramaniam Swami and Sri T.G. Mohandas from Kerala, who is a well-known commentator on various topics in India and Kerala, will be discussing this topic. See, T.G. Mohandas is also the president of Virat Hindustan Sangam. We welcome him to our show. And this, with these words, it is over to Dr. Subramaniam Swami to initiate today's discussion. And then we will hear from T.G. Mohandas and our panel as usual. So over to Dr. Subramaniam Swami.
Thank you very much, Jagdish. Today, because of the, we are on the edge of election, and there'll be a new government by May, and so the agenda that should be followed. We cannot forget our legacy. We cannot forget what we had promised over the years, and so one of the things that has been pending since 1947 is the question of whether India should be a Hindu Rashtra. Now, what does that mean? What does Hindu Rashtra mean? It certainly, at the outset, I would like to say to everybody, it does not mean a land of Hindus. It only means that the system will be based on the larger picture of the our Hindu cultural past, the way, for example, we treat women as equal. Their women have been warriors in our Hindu past. You won't find that in many countries. You will find it only in India, to the extent which the Hindus had practiced cultural practices which were very advanced by their then standards and even today. And so when I'm talking about the context of becoming, whether we were expected to, after in 1947, to become a Hindu state or a Hindu Rashtra, not a state in the sense of a political state, but is a Rashtra, is a matter in which everybody, you know, feels comfortable, but there's a cultural aspect which has to be promoted through political means. So that's how we started. Now, let me basically say that all through, after the foreigners came to India, that is the Muslims to begin with, the fight between the invaders and the rest of India was essentially between Hindus and the outsider. And so it was always pictured that way. Even Shivaji, who people said had generals who were Muslims and so on. But then this concept that it is Hindu Rashtra, Shivaji made no bones about it. And in fact, he celebrated his coronation based on Hindu rights. So, and Hindu rights, Hindus have also been helpful and, have assimilated in the sense of being politically, they brought them on equals. For example, the Jews, the Parsis, of course, the Jains, Buddhists, and the Sikhs, they're all essentially India, they were Indians or they were identified with the Hindus. And therefore, there was a lot of amity between all these groups. So when somebody said Hindu, it was not necessarily a religion. It was actually a Hindu was originally, if you go back, even in the Vedas, people say, no, Hindu is Sindhu, which we, they couldn't pronounce it there as the sir, so they pronounce it as her. All that is rubbish. It's there in the shlokas. My new book is coming out very soon from Harananda, which, of course, I will send all our friends in the VHS copies. But the fact is that I have identified from the Vedas, which part of the Vedas the word Hindu appears, and why is it, and what is its meaning. So I start with by saying that we had a partition, and partition was a failure because it was believed that we will be Hindus and Muslims will live together, and we will, when the British will go away. But it didn't happen, and the British also didn't want it. So there was a division. And so, as Ambedkar very clearly said, and Ambedkar has been writing from 1940, and he said that if you are not able to prevent a partition, which the British were at that time touting, then it's better to make India a Hindu Rashtra. And in fact, the first person who cannot be, nobody can raise a finger against on communalism and so on, was Ambedkar. And he was a master scholar. He got a PhD from Columbia. He got a PhD from London School of Economics. He was a bar at law. He was one of the most educated people. And he's written so many books. I'm sorry that it is not made compulsory reading for our schools, where he has laid out very, very clearly. Of course, towards the end of his life, he was a little bitter that for all that he had done, Nehru had completely isolated him. And he said certain things which we don't agree with. But as far as the history is concerned, as far as the concepts are concerned, Dr. Ambedkar is still perhaps one of the biggest intellectuals we have had in the last century. So I will quote him to say that what he said very clearly is that if there is a partition, then it must become a question of the country that we will have, the government we will have, has to be a Hindu government. And these are the explicit ways he has done. He, that Dr. Ambedkar was the chairman of the drafting committee, and he throughout for 3-4 years, he saw through it, he discussed it, he answered amendments, everything. And finally, we had a constitution. And that constitution I will read out today to show how many Hindu concepts are there, and only Hindu concepts. I mean, Hindu concepts includes, of course, Buddhists, Jains, and Sikhs, but that's a different matter. The fact is that the broad Hindu concept is there in our constitution and no other. In due course of my talk just now, I will mention it. But I will say that when partition came, it came how the British Parliament passed a resolution and adopted a resolution, rather, in which they said that they will be divided into two, and one will be Muslim ruled and the other will be Hindu ruled. The word ruled they didn't use, but it will be Hindu driven and Muslim driven. So they didn't explicitly say that that only Hindus will be in one partition part and only Muslims will be in another part. But it became that because there was so much bad blood and so on, and a large number of Hindus had to leave Pakistan or get killed on the way. Whereas, of course, the Hindu from here also, Muslims left. Many of them also were subjected to physical violence. But the fact is, by and large, the Hindus, Muslims who wanted to stay in India, have stayed in India. They've been ministers. They've been ambassadors. They've been professors. They've been journalists. So they are in all parts of our society. But the question is that we have still not made it clear what is India. India is secular. That's meaningless because the secular word is not there in the constitution. It was put during the emergency, and I am hoping very soon, and my hearing in the Supreme Court will come up again on 29th April. I am hoping that, and I think from the remarks made by one of, at least one of the judges, it appears to me that they've understood the thrust of what I'm saying. I will say that the insertion of secularism and socialism, which was introduced during the emergency, that is something which cannot be done because the preamble has a factor in it which cannot be changed. Nothing in the preamble can be changed. You could add something, but you can't add anything like this because of the date. You can't add anything, in fact, to our present preamble, which I'll read out in due course just now. But that preamble has one sentence which says that as of date 26th November 1949, this is what we stand to. This is the preamble that we are presenting to the country. So that is cannot be changed because of that date factor. If the date was not there, an amendment could have been brought in. But what Mrs. Gandhi did was absolutely illegal, and therefore it has to be removed. And I was urged by Sharad Joshi, the great farm leader, before his death. He took a promise from me that I will take this up when I could, and I managed to keep my promise, and I hope to see the end of that. So India is, there is nothing in the constitution which says that we are socialist or we are secular, and nobody knows the definition of that. So if I now take the constitution and tell you what the preamble says, and the preamble says the following: we the people of India. Preamble means this is what was given to the Constituent Assembly, that this is the framework within this you create the constitution. We the people of India have solemnly resolved to constitute India into a sovereign democratic republic. Mrs. Gandhi added to this socialist and secular. I'm here right now trying to get it deleted in the Supreme Court, and I'm hoping to be successful. So I'm not reading these two things. And anyway, I will point out, it is contradictory to the other sentence. And to secure to its citizens justice, that is social, economic, and political, liberty of thought, expression, belief, faith, and worship. In other words, you can you have complete liberty. You can follow any faith. Now, that means what? I mean, without saying secular, that is secular, more than secular. Secular originally was invented in Europe, was a difference, differentiation of powers of between the church and the king, and then between these two. But ours is where these religious matters cannot interfere in anything, and that's what it comes out here. So justice, and then it says liberty, I've told you, and then fraternity, and then it says in the last line, in our Constituent Assembly, this 26th day of November 1949, do hereby adopt, enact, and give ourselves this constitution. Now, this date is there, which is 26th day of November 1949. So how can you in 1976, during the emergency, pass something and put it in here? You can't put it in here because of this date. And so there is no question of preamble having secularism, socialism. So what is it that when we decided to have a united India, India and Pakistan included, that is, there was a question of whether we can say we are a Hindu country. But once it partitioned, people like Ambedkar and many others, I am not only talking about Savarkar and so on and so forth, because there a lot of people have problems with that. They don't like the language he used and so on. But anyway, they are also great writers. In fact, Savarkar's book on 1857 is the most classic book, which I would urge anyone and everyone to read. But anyway, I'm saying even when 1949, when the constitution was completed and was going to be then introduced in the 1950 first meeting of the Parliament of India, and where it was to be formally adopted. So that constitution has all the elements that you require for this to be said, that the essence of the present day constitution, I mean, I'll come to the question, what are you going to, what changes are you going to make in the constitution to declare this as a Hindu Rashtra? And so, first of all, what it say, says in the constitution is, first of all, just let me read out from it. The first thing that it says is that India, that is Bharat, shall be a union of states. It doesn't say Hindustan or whatever other names which are given for India. It says Bharat. What is the distinction between Bharat and Hindustan? Hindustan is a cultural concept, and Bharat is a republican concept. That is the Indian system, Indian legal system, Indian constitutional system, that is Bharat. And how did the word Bharat came? It has come straight from our scriptures. So Bharat is also a Hindu concept, and the Hindu Rajas made it public and called themselves as Bharat. So this is what says in the constitution. There's nobody objected to it then when it was brought in. Then you go on and you go to further, and you'll see that when it comes to the fundamental rights, there's a very interesting thing that is said. Fundamental rights, which is article, starts with the right from Article 19. And what it says is, I will read out from Article 25. Article 25 says that right to freedom of religion, that again is a Hindu concept. Your way, my way, both relate to God. There's no quarrel with it. And the Hindus have consistently held that position. You go your way, I go my way, but we both are religious and we meet our God. So what the Article 25 says, that there should be freedom of conscience and free profession, practice, and propagation of religion. Now, that is typically Hindu. Any Christian state, any Muslim state will not say that in their constitution. So please go and read some of them, and you will know that. And it says, subject to public order, morality, and health. That is, you know, in the name of religions, you cannot be publicly, disturb public order. You cannot be immoral. And you cannot, make people do things which spoils their health. Subject to these, the right to freely profess and practice and propagate religion, it goes on. And finally, it adds that in explanation for Hinduism, explanation, in subclause B of clause 2, the reference to Hindus, because at one place they talk about the Hindu religious institutions and so on and so forth, specifically to ensure that Hindu religious institutions are not disturbed by political authorities. The reference to Hindus shall be construed to to as including a reference to persons professing Sikhs, Jains, or Buddhist religion, and the reference to the Hindu religious institution shall be construed accordingly. So the constitution openly says that Buddhists, Sikhs, and Jains, they are part of Hinduism. And so far, no one, no Sikh, no Jain, no Buddhist has ever come to Parliament saying, no, I want an amendment to remove this. I'm not a Hindu. Hindu is an umbrella concept. And in the umbrella concept is all those who are natural to India. Their ancestry and all is Indian. In the soil of India. So this is what it says. And then it goes on further. Whenever any issue comes up, for instance, a ban on cow slaughter, there is no Mahatma Gandhi's fad or something. It's there in the constitution. It's there in what we call as directive principles the constitution, and that comes in the constitution, and where it is explicitly stated that in the directive principles that slaughter of cows will be banned. So that is there. Then it's also uniform civil code. You know, only one man can marry one woman. No, you can't, marry more than one of that. I mean, both a single woman can't marry two husbands, and or a single man cannot marry two women or more. So all these are there, these modern concepts. They are all Hindu concepts, and they've been brought out there. Then in one interesting, there are many, many, I mean, I don't want to take more time. But they say language of the union. The official language of the union shall be Hindi, but in Devanagari script. Now, Devanagari script is a Sanskrit script. And everybody should be compulsorily made to learn it. Why? Because on the road, there are many, for instance, Telugu has a different script and Bengali has a different script. And so, you can't have them all down in a thing. Right now, presently, they are all using English everywhere, or some states put in, like Tamil Nadu, they put in Tamil notings on the road. So we need one which everybody can read, and that is Devanagari. And Devanagari, by the way, is not only Sanskrit. Devanagari is also used by Hindi, Nepali, and Marathi. All four use it. And Gujarati is almost similar. It's not exactly similar, but it is almost similar. Anybody who knows Devanagari also can read Gujarati. So, therefore, it says here that Devanagari script. Then it goes on and makes it more clear. And I'll put all this together and tell you how. Article 351, it says, Directive for Development of Hindi Language. And then the last few lines says, how the language can be developed and put in the 8th schedule, and by drawing wherever necessary or desirable for its vocabulary, primarily on Sanskrit. Now, so what this direction is, that Hindi will be Sanskritized Hindi. It's very important because northern people who speak Hindi, they have got lots of Urdu words. Nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to official Hindi language, it has been Sanskrit. And Sanskrit is there in every language. Tamil has, something like 40% words of Tamil is Sanskrit. One day, Karunanidhi and I had an argument. So I said, your own name is Karunanidhi, which is Sanskrit. See, my father gave me that name. Then he said, but you gave the name for your symbol for your party for elections and so on. And what is your symbol called in Tamil? Udayan Suryan. That is the rising sun. Uday is Sanskrit. Suryan is Surya is Sanskrit, and in Tamil it is Udayan Suryan. If you start looking at, you know, if you knew Tamil, you'll know at least 40% of the words are Sanskrit. They may add to the Sanskrit words, but Sanskrit words are there, and they are there in, you know, Kannada, they are there in Bengali, in Malayalam, of course, is probably the maximum of any other of the languages. So Sanskrit is the one that ultimately we have to revive, which the British in 1835 onwards, they deliberately saw to it that you will never learn Sanskrit. And they burned so many of our books and so on and so forth, so that you never read Sanskrit books. So that kind of fanaticism that had taken place, now it is time for us to do it. All these things, when you put by brick, this is Hindu Rashtra. And this Hindu Rashtra is practically now a fact. That is, it's already, most of it is known. Now we have to make a few clear things, like everybody should learn Devanagari script. You can do that. Everybody should use Sanskrit words. Not in official language. In official language, when one state converses with another state, or one Hindi state converses with another Hindi state, they must use Sanskrit words. And ultimately, soon Sanskrit will go on, increasing, and we'll start speaking Sanskrit again. And why is that important? Because according to science, scientists, which you can get from Google anytime. Now, future artificial intelligence is going to be heavily dependent on Sanskrit for conveyance of robots and so on. And you can go to Google and say Sanskrit and artificial intelligence, they'll give you the entire details. Now, Sanskrit is being taught in so many Western countries. All being done silently. Nobody is even mentioning it. But it's going on. It's being taught. I know in Harvard, there's a department for teaching Sanskrit. So all these things put together, I would say we are already on the precipice, if you want to call it. We are on the edge of coming into a situation where Hindu Rashtra would mean, one of the things it would mean is the Sanskritic culture. And that needs to be brought in. And then what was thought of by Shivaji, what was thought by Rani Jhansi, what was thought by Aurobindo, what was thought by all the other sages, what was thought of those intellectuals like Savarkar, what was thought by so many people. And Gandhi had a few idea that India will not be divided. So he was a little, he didn't want to push this Sanskrit business. But in private, he always spoke very highly of Sanskrit. And of course, he learned Sanskrit when he was a young boy in Gujarat. So Sanskrit is a language which has common vocabulary with all the languages of India. It's a way to connect with each other. And while English will be an international language, but a national language will be Sanskrit. And that's the way we can do it. So what the conclusion is that once you didn't have unity and there was partition, then as Ambedkar has said, then we should have declared India as a Hindu country and adopted Hindu principles. And of course, Pakistan became Muslim. They didn't hesitate at all. But we, all this secular, Hindu is, if secular means that all religions are to be treated equal, that's there already in the constitution. That's there in all these Sanskrit scriptures that we regard all religions lead to God. So therefore, the India should go back to what it was, to be declared as a Hindu Rashtra in Hindi. If you want to say, like China has Jungwo in Chinese for describing China, And for the public, English public, they call themselves China. So therefore, India can call itself India abroad, but within the country, we should call it, the Indian nation should be called everywhere as Hindu Rashtra. This is it's a very big subject, but I would like our friend Mohandas, who's come from Kerala, who's our head of our Kerala unit of the VHS, who's done enormous research on Mahatma Gandhi's assassination, to say in context what he thinks the promotion of Sanskrit would do for India. Over to Jagdish. He will decide who's going to speak next. So, Jagdish, please take over.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Swami. I would now request Mr. T.G. Mohandas, who has been writing on this, speaking on this related subjects, to throw some light on the subject, including the what happened, how other forces got the better hand after Gandhi's assassination, in that context, to enlighten our viewers.
Thank you, Jagdish ji. Thanks everyone for giving this opportunity to me. Now, Gandhi once said, "I am a Sanatani Hindu." Nobody questioned him, "How can you be a Hindu?" or "What is the definition of Hindu?" Nothing was there. All these things started later on. There was no debate in the parliament about the word Hindu. What is the definition? So definitions were given wherever it is required. You can find the definition in Hindu Marriages Act, Hindu Adoption and Maintenance Act, Hindu Succession Act. In all these acts, because it is going to court, Ambedkar has given the definition. So if you want a legal definition, it is given long back in 1955 and 56 by Jawaharlal Nehru, Ambedkar, etc. So it's not a question of definition. It is some sort of subversion what is happening in our country in the name of Hindu. Now slowly, in common parlance, the word Hindu has become some infradig, which you should not utter. Hindu is a bad word. You know, in Kerala, Jamaat-e-Islami is holding processions saying, "End Hindu ethnicity." Now, there is nothing called Hindu ethnicity. Hindus are not ethnic or a particular race. Now, they use this word ethnicity particularly because tomorrow they will, one day they will raise this problem in the United Nations. And the moment the Europeans hear the word racism, they will be excited and they will jump upon our country, saying that, "Oh, you are oppressing Muslims, this, that." This is the politics which is going on. As Dr. Swami was unwinding his thoughts, I was sad that at this age, a man of such eminence is forced to go back to Vedas and justify our own existence, our own nationhood. What a sad state of affairs. Look at England. They have a Labour Party, Conservative Party. They have enough fights, fisticuffs, everything. But they have no doubt about their nationhood. Look at America. They have Democrats or other party. Republican Party, etc., some small parties also, but nobody discusses who are we. Everybody is clear who are an American, who is an American. All other nations are settled, but here we have started a big debate on our nationhood, on our very existence. Now, the word is coming from Hindu Rashtra, is coming from, no doubt, is coming from Vedas. There are 300 or 400 mentionings of the word Rashtra in Vedas, especially in Atharva Veda. It's clearly written, Bharati Ya Saraswati. Now, Pandit Satulekar has given interpretation to Vedas. He was a big scholar. His works are available in Pune. So he has written the meaning of Bharati means our motherland. Ya means our mother tongue. And Saraswati means not goddess Saraswati. It is our Sanskriti. So Ma Sanskriti, your mother tongue and your motherland. This is what Vedas have taught us. This line Pandit Satulekar has taken from Atharva Veda. There are ever so many descriptions about Rashtra. What is our Bhumi? What is the place called Earth? What is the importance of Bharat? Where it starts, where it ends? Where are the boundaries? All these ideas slowly unrolling from Vedas to Ramayanas to Mahabharata, then to Puranas, and then to the Islamic rule. All these things, you can see the thread. So our constitutional makers, I presume that this was not a debate there, who is a Hindu or what is Hindu Rashtra. Nothing was there, because it in their minds, automatically, since you have given Pakistan to the Muslims, the remaining part is Hindustan. It is so logical. Now, Hindustan was a word coined by East India Company and subsequently British. When they drew the map of India, they were writing Hindustan. And that Hindu had two O's, H-I-N-D-O-O, then remaining part, Hindustan. Swami Vivekananda was described as a Hindu sannyasi, H-I-N-D-O-O. You can see the old photos in which the spelling is H-I-N-D-O-O. Now, look at one of the oldest newspapers in India. That is The Hindu. Now, it is an anti-Hindu newspaper. Generally, our right-wingers call it anti-Hindu. But that apart, the name is The Hindu, under which they have written India's national newspaper. How can we, India's national newspaper, be Hindu? So it was okay when the newspaper started. The political and cultural atmosphere in our country was conducive to using the word Hindu. Nobody treated the word infradic. But this debate started even after independence, only a few years back, I think. This debate started somewhere around 89, 90. All these things started. People started criticizing Savarkar, Golwarkar, Aurobindo. Everybody who had some Hindu affiliation, or someone who is fighting for the rights of Hindus, or someone who is trying to organize them peacefully. Everybody was cursed. He was attacked intellectually, even physically. Intellectual terrorism was unleashed. You know, Arun Shuri, when he wrote about Ambedkar, a book about Ambedkar, okay, you have several disagreements with that book, but you know, throwing black oil on his face was something ridiculous. This type of behavior is anti-Hindu. Hindus entertained everybody. You know, how many books are there criticizing Rama? You go to Sun TV in Tamil Nadu. It is loosely owned by, or tightly owned by, DMK. But there are ever so many debates on Kamba Ramayana. Kamba Ramayana was the first Ramayana after Valmiki Ramayana. It was after 5,000 years or so, Kamba wrote Kamba Ramayana. Then it came to Malayalam and then to other places. All these Ramayanas came. Now there are, I think, around 210 Ramayanas or so. Now still more people are writing new Ramayanas. Now there are debates happening in Tamil Nadu over what Rama did and what Rama did not. Now Rama or Ramayan is dated back to at least 7,000 years. 7,000 years. Now still the debate is going on, means Rama is there in the heart of Tamil Nadu, Kerala, everywhere. They say, oh, Rama is not generally worshipped in Kerala and Tamil Nadu. No, that is untrue. There are several temples of Rama. More than that, there are several places in the name of Rama. Now, you ask Swaminathan of Chennai, how many places are there connected to Rama in Tamil Nadu? Ramanathapuram, Rameshwaram, etc., etc. You come to Kerala, there are Ramapuram, Ramangali, Ramantali, so many Ramas. You go to other places, you will find Ramgad, Parashuramgad, Rampur, Sita Rampur, so many. Every name is associated to Rama, and everybody says that Rama came here. Dekho yahan Sita ki rasoi hai. Practically, Sita could not have visited all these sites and cooked food. But every village will claim that, every monument will claim that Sita came here, yahan khana banaya tha. So what a wonderful operation of our culture. And in spite of that, and what I heard, I have not seen, probably Dr. Swami may be able to clear it. There is original copy of our constitution in which the pictures of Rama and Krishna are given in the beginning. And then only the preamble starts. And it was not against secularism at that time, because it was going without any objection that Rama, Krishna are all our national heroes. Maybe we are worshipping it religiously, that is another thing, but they are national heroes. Because the word Hindu has got different connotations at different places. You go to a library, the Hindu is a newspaper. If you ask my religion, it is Hindu. So Hindu is to be read in a context every time. You cannot have a general definition for Hindu. And religion also, you see, we don't have an equivalent word in any of our language, including Sanskrit, for the word religion, because we don't subscribe to that concept. Jo hamare desh mein nahi hai, uske liye word bhi nahi hoga. This is the word religion, because one God, one prophet, one book, and a society working according to that. Okay, we understand the concept, but we don't have such societies, so we don't have a word for that. That is the word religion. Now, Swami Vivekananda has told this. Yeah, I am helpless. I don't have an equivalent word in Bharat for religion. Therefore, I am using Dharma. I think probably Swami Vivekananda was the first man who translated the word religion to Dharma, because he was helpless. He expressed that. Abhi kya ho gaya? Secularism became dharma nirpeksh. Now, how can Bharat be dharma nirpeksh? You are absorbing your responsibility, you are cutting your roots, your history, your forefathers, everything, and your basic duties, your dharma. You say, no, I don't have any dharma, I am dharma nirpeksh. Then where are you? In air? In atmosphere? Or kaha ho aap? Kahi nahi ho if you are dharma nirpeksh. So all these nonsense came because we started translating from English to our language, and we don't have word. Now, in Malayalam, for religion, we use the word matam. Now, this is what Swami said, they use am. In Hindi, the word is mat. Mat means your opinion. In Malayalam, we converted it into matam. Still, the dictionary meaning is your opinion, but the practical meaning is your religion. So here also we said we are mata nirapeksh. That means you don't have any opinion at all. You go by dictionary meaning, a man without any opinion, he don't want to open his mouth. He is called mata nirapeksh. This type of foolishness, intellectual jugglery, intellectual hollowness, was perpetrated on us meticulously by the left and broadly by the Congress. Now, the other day in Kerala, an old congressman started singing Janaganamana. He forgot the first line and he went straight away to the last line. Janaganamangala Dayaka Jehe. Somebody switched off the mic and there was some hullabaloo on the stage. He was wondering what I did not make any mistake. Because the even the old congressman has forgotten the national anthem. I was asked in my TV show, what is happening to Congress? I said, this is the result of Congress denying our nationhood. They stopped singing national anthem after 1947. You can't see one national song which is written by a congressman after our independence. Prior to independence, everybody who was knowing whatever he can write, he was writing a song for Bharat. Zara poocho firangi se hamari prahar shirshi kitna hai. Aisa kuch bahut sare inke Amitabh Bachchan ke baap hai na unka kavita hai. Harivansh Rai Bachchan. Ab after 1947, only RSS people are writing these patriotic songs. Nobody else. Sabne chhod diya. Ab Congress wala national anthem bhool bhi gaya. Ab BJP wale ne kuch केस डाला है तो हमसे पूछा गया कि साहब ये क्या होगा केस का. मैंने बोला केस तो नहीं है उसमें, बिकॉज ही फॉरगॉट द लाइन, इट वाज अ टंग स्लिप, ही डिडंट इंटेंशनली इंसल्ट द नेशनल एंथम, देयरफॉर केस विल नॉट स्टैंड. बट द वरीइंग पार्ट इज दैट द ओल्ड कांग्रेस मैन हैज फॉरगॉटन द नेशनल एंथम. व्हाट अबाउट द न्यू जनरेशन? दे हैव नो आइडिया ऑफ व्हाट इज नेशनल एंथम. तो ये हालत हमारी देश की हो गई है. स्टिल वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग द डिबेट ऑन व्हाट वी आर, व्हाट इज अवर आइडेंटिटी, हु आर वी. आई डोंट थिंक एनी अदर कंट्री, एनी अदर नेशन इन द वर्ल्ड इज डिबेटिंग ऑन देयर आइडेंटिटी. मे बी न्यू नेशंस लाइक स्लोवाकिया, दिस दैट, एवरीबडी हैज सेटल्ड देयर क्वेश्चन, दे नो हु आम आई. बट वी आर स्टिल डिबेटिंग and putting Dr. Swami to dig the Vedas, to convince us, to convince the public, write a book and then justify our nationhood. It is a sorry state of affairs. This should have been taught in our schools about our nationhood. What is Dr. Swami is teaching us now should have been taught ever since we got independence. But these things were kept away. And all these things about our nationhood is given in Vedas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas. Everything is in Sanskrit. And that is why Dr. Swami, as well as everybody in VHS, insists that bring back Sanskrit. Every knowledge is there. Okay, the new science, physics, mathematics, these things may not be there, but it developed later on. But the basic culture is reflected in our mother tongue, that is Sanskrit. As Dr. Swami rightly said, around 65% of Malayalam is Sanskrit. 66% of Kannada is Sanskrit. Again, around 70% of Bengali is Sanskrit. Only thing, how do you pronounce it? The South Indian has got a, especially Kerala and Tamil Nadu, we add am to that. So for mirror, in Malayalam we say darpanam. Kannada will say darpana. Bengali will say dorpon. Basically, it's all derived from Sanskrit. And then Mamata is again Sanskrit. Siddharamaya is again Sanskrit. Pidarayi Vijayan kuch bolo hi mat. He is against everything nationalist. Everything Indian is taboo for the left. They shudder to think about Bharat. The word Bharat is banned by the leftists. They don't use the word Bharat. And in Kerala, the situation has developed that the moment somebody calls India as Bharat, he is an RSS man. You can just say Bharat, they will identify you as an RSS man. While this man may be blissfully unaware of what is RSS and what not, he only used the word Bharat. Itna intellectual terror ban gaya hai that I am happy that Dr. Swami is coming, because someone has to permanently settle this issue, which was long back settled by our ancestors some 7,000, 10,000 years back. All Vedas have settled this issue. What is our country? What is the character of our country? What is the foundation of our nation? Everything is clearly written. But we are not aware about that. And we are commissioning or compelling Dr. Swami to go back to Vedas and bring the truth for us. It's a good thing. At least Dr. Swami is there to settle the debate once for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mohandas ji. Now I would request our panel members, Arvind Chaturvedi and Ramesh Swami, to join us and start your comments and questions.
Jagdish, I would like to go back to the topic of the day. Thanks to Mr. T.G. Mohandas. He talked about various subjects, but I think somewhere we digressed from the main topic of the day, that whether in 1947, at the time of partition, we were a Hindu Rashtra or not, or we were the purpose of partition was to mark a separate country for Muslims as Pakistan and remaining country India as countries of Hindus. But if we look at the gradual politics which has taken place from Nehru to Indira Gandhi to Rajiv Gandhi and subsequently to BJP, back to Congress and all, secularism has become the key word in Indian politics. And this keyword in Indian politics has been utilized, misutilized, used, and abused, depending on which side of political thinking you are. Congress has been using this to appease Muslims in order to create vote bank. But what Congress did in early 50s and 60s or 70s, in fact, other political parties which were also opposing Congress and on one stream opposing Bharti Jansang or Bharti Janata Party, they also started appeasing Muslims. And therefore, we digress from this subject or this topic called Hindu Rashtra. The reason is we are 82% Hindus. And in a country which has 82% Hindus dominated everywhere except maybe certain pockets in this country, we have Hamid Ansari, who is the vice president of the country, Amir Khan, who is the actor in Bollywood, and Nasiruddin Shah, saying that Hindustan ka Musalman dara hua hai. 16% Muslims all over the country, which disrupt Durga Visarjan Shobha Yatra, which disrupt Ram Navami, they stone the Ram Navami
procession. Can I add one small thing to you?
Yeah.
You said the Hindus are 82%. I don't think so, because we have only 2011 census figures, that too without including Jammu and Kashmir and parts of Assam. So according to my general estimate, Hindus have reduced themselves to 75 or maybe maximum 76% now.
In fact, Mr. Mohandas, this is the issue. Why have Hindu reduced in a country which is actually Hindu Rashtra? And this has happened because of conversion. Now, why the conversion was not being stopped by the people? The rulers were all Hindus, or more than 85% or 90% were Hindus. Has there been any Muslim prime minister of this country? Never. Of course, we have had for decoration's sake Fakhruddin Ali Ahmad and Jakir Hussain and others as president, vice president, and they show pieces. But when the Hindus are ruling this country, why has Hindu population reduced? I mean, it is something like Pakistan. We blame Pakistan. Ki Pakistan mein Hindu 10% tha, 12% tha, ab 1% reh gaya. Bangladesh mein Hindu khatam ho gaya. Are Hindu to Hindustan mein bhi khatam ho raha hai. That is the issue. That why in a Hindu country, which is, once you take out the Pakistan, which is Muslims, and the reason why Jinnah wanted Pakistan was that those Muslims cannot live peacefully with Hindus. Then why are we appeasing Muslims in the name of politics? This is why I think One very important reason Dr. Swami has been pointing out, this appeasement, nobody, hum rashtrabad ki baat karte hain, hum hindubad ki baat nahi karte. But even those who talk about rashtrabad, aaj aap dekh rahe hain, jo hindutva, tathakathit hindutva ki sarkar hai, wo kehti hai pasmanda musalman 10% hai, hum pasmanda musalman ko vote denge, unka vote lenge. 11,000 crores have been spent on welfare of minorities. What are we doing? So we are claiming victims on one hand, and we are adopting policies which are actually killing us and reducing our population. This is the question we should be raising. We should be questioning the politics. Hamari aaj ki rajniti, chahe koi bhi rajnitik dal ho, हिंदुत्व के नाम पे आई हुई भारतीय जनता पार्टी ने भी वही रास्ता अपनाया है. ये अलग बात है कि मुसलमानों ने उनको अभी तक घास नहीं डाली. So this is different. But we are 80, if not 80%, maybe 79%, 78%. Yes, maybe we go by 2011. And I think if we have the census after 2011, which was due in 2021, and if it has not happened, maybe we are going to be further reduced. The question is, if we extrapolate these figures, if we extrapolate, like what happened in Pakistan and Bangladesh, are we going to reduce Hindu population to a minority? In your Kerala, there are areas where Hindus cannot even take out a procession. We have West Bengal, half of which was given to Bangladesh or Pakistan initially, in the name of religion. Even today, after 70 years of independence, 75 years of independence, in Murshidabad and some other pockets, Hindus cannot take out Durga Visarjan ka jo maine udaran diya, kahan se shuru hua? Pashchim Bengal se shuru hua. And Pashchim Bengal, we have a secular chief minister, and we had, of course, 1967 onwards, secular governments in Pashchim Bengal. Last 60 years, almost 60 years. And see, Hindus cannot take out procession. In Kerala, in certain pockets, Hindus cannot take out procession. What Stalin is doing, or what his son is saying about eradication of Hindus. What, are we Hindu country? Can we tolerate all that? And why are we tolerating that? And where are the protectors of Hinduism? Where is RSS? Where is BJP? What are they doing? And where is Vishwa Hindu Parishad? In the name of politics, we are not taking any action. Yes, on paper, as a slogan, we are saying Hindus, Hindu Rashtra, Hindu Ram Janmabhoomi on 22nd of January, when the Pran Pratishtha was done, everyone is saying, now we are going to have a Hindu Rashtra. Let's wait for Ram Navami to come. Ram Navami is not very far, just about 2 months from now. And see whether we can take out in every pocket of the country Shobha Yatra on Ram Navami Day. Same thing is likely to happen. I mean, I'm not pessimistic, but I'm saying because the government is, and those days will be election days. In April, we are going to have Lok Sabha election, and Lok Sabha election is also fought in this country on religious grounds. And I'm sorry to say, BJP also has been using religion to divide and polarize people. So how long we continue this and also claim that we are victims? So these are realistic questions, and I think we should introspect and answer, try to answer these questions. I'm sure Dr. Swami can throw more light on this. He's a part of BJP for, he has been part of Jansang as well since his politics, maybe more than 50 years he has spent on this ideology. But the people who are ruling today, they may be using as a decoration piece the name of Hindutva, but actually they're not protecting Hindutva in this country. Dr. Swami.
You mean Ramesh Swami?
No, sir, you.
I am not a doctor yet, sir.
it's your turn.
Okay.
Maybe after Ramesh, Dr. Swami will come.
Yeah. I'll just jump in. Arvindji, a lot of things you said, I agree. Okay. But the concept of, again, coming back to the topic, are we ready to, why do we have to claim that we are Hindu Rashtra? First question. Are we not already?
Number good.
Why do we have to go and say constitution says this, constitution doesn't say? Why we are a Hindu Rashtra, period? Why can't somebody declare that? Just said, so what?
What kind of Hindu Rashtra are we? If Hindus cannot take out procession in this country.
Please let me complete my chain of thought. Otherwise, I normally don't get thoughts. So please give me some thought. Why do we have to declare ourselves to be a... Even if one party declares that this is a Hindu Rashtra, which allegedly BJP claims to be, that it is a Hindutva party, right? Why can't BJP claim? RSS themselves are not claiming. Of all the irony that we have witnessed yesterday is one Kripa Shankar Singh, the man who called Hindus Hindu terror, RSS ki sajish on 26/11. Has been given a Lok Sabha seat. If this is the status of our own so-called Hindu party, how are we expecting that somebody is going to declare our nation as a Hindu Rashtra? Forget it. That, let me tell you, that dream with this current set of bunch of people and even the current PM who claims himself to be a Hindu Hriday, some rat, we are not going to be there. If the leadership thinks that Hindus are only vote banks, forget about calling ourselves Hindu Rashtra. That's what I wanted to say. I just want to put it out there because we are debating this. The Constitution allows us to say, oh, that's all fine. But at the end of the day, if you don't have the leadership and the party to run behind it, and they themselves are appeasing, as you just mentioned, it is a record appeasement that has happened under Modi leadership from 2014 to today in 10 years. Congress has been so smart that they gave only 4% of whatever they were able to give, and they got 90% of the Muslim votes. BJP is giving 40% and they're getting not even 1%. So who's smarter here? The appeasement politics that is being followed by BJP is a disaster, and we cannot expect, with the current leadership of BJP being where they are today, expect this country to be declared a Hindu Rashtra. That is what I wanted to lay down. That's my thought. So thankfully, thanks. Yeah.
I have some comments to make. When we got independence, Dr. Swami, I think the bill in the British House of Commons, Indian Independence Act or partition, whatever it was known in 1946, the act itself said a Muslim Pakistan and a Hindu India. That was the act. They had left to the constituent assemblies of the two states, countries to adopt whatever they had, and they had given them the freedom to do that in the following few months or years. So, rightly, Pakistan adopted an Islamic country, and India, instead of saying we tried to be more secular than what we are, we could have very categorically said that we are a Hindu Rashtra, but in coded words, some of our people tried to escape from, especially the congressmen, tried to camouflage all this. So it was basically some of the mistakes made by our founding fathers, or to cover up for the mistake, the appeasement of these Muslims started. In fact, Muslims given to themselves would behave themselves as they are there, but they look to the ruler to see what path they should be following. If Muslims by themselves may not be bad, but when the appeasement takes place, they demand more than what is really required of them. Because in other countries, they very well behave and follow the uniform civil code. It is here when the majority is pilpila or like a rasgulla, they start making these demands. And as Arvind and Ramesh has rightly said, especially for those blind followers, even of the present regime, who only accuse the past governments of having appeased Muslims, I would say this government figures speak for themselves what they have done for the minorities, how much more funds they have divided. Even today, while I'm saying this, I would request our friends to do some research and find out that even in a place like Uttar Pradesh, ruled by Yogi Adityanath, we are paying for the Islamic madrasas by the state funds. They have to just go and do a Google search and see that the state government of Uttar Pradesh is also funding madrasas as part of the Uttar Pradesh government budget. It's not a secret, but you know, our people who are followers of Modi don't want to see beyond what Modi has been saying. Just they need to do some research. So this appeasement is going on. We speak against the madrasas, but our own government is funding the madrasas as we are speaking. That is the sad part. They are not ready to call a spade, stop all these appeasement and do politics of not discriminating any other religion. This is my comment which I want to make. But if India had decided to go by what the British Parliament has passed, we would definitely have been a Hindu Rashtra without having all these other things taking refuge under some thing or the other.
Arunji, you can conclude it. Dr. Swami, your final comments, and Mohandas, if you have any final comments, and then we can close.
See, I introduced this because we are going to into a new, after the election, there will be a new government. And I think this time we should be more aggressive in bringing out what should have been, what has been our tradition. I don't see, see, the question of Hindu Rashtra. I'm not saying that Hindu Rashtra means that only Hindus will be in this Rashtra. That's not what we are saying. Those who have been here by willingly remain in India, we only want them to be culturally not different. I mean, I don't want them to be seen as people who are really can be identified by their behavior, by their culture, by their clothes, as people belong to West Asia. They should appear like the Indians centuries have been doing. Of course, I can't say that just now as a compulsion, because lots of people are in coat and pant, including in this seminar. And I think Gandhi started a movement to give up Western clothes, but it didn't go very far. But I think with these are various aspects which have to be dealt. But the most important thing is that the government of the day must do it in a skillful way. And today, the government of the day is just doing exactly the opposite, to be on good terms with Qatar or within Saudi Arabia or whatever, and we see all our interests are being, even Maldives today is telling you get out, and you're coming out, and you're only saying now we are going to put some IAS officers. But you know, all these things will lower the status of Hindus as a force in China for all its secularism and all its communism. They still have a special name for their own original Chinese. And that the original Chinese in whispers and so on is taken as the original China, and that everybody else came from elsewhere. This is something that is followed in other parts. In the United States, where our friend Ramesh is from, in a sense, he lives there. He knows that the bottom line is the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christian, which was defined by a Harvard professor who wrote his book, Who Are We? And he came to the conclusion that the identity of America is white Anglo-Saxon Christian Protestant. They are all very clear. Britain also has the same thing. They also have made it very, very clear. They have said we are Protestants. So therefore, I think in India, we need this clarity. And it is not directed against anybody else. but it should be a way of uniting the, whether it's 82% or 75%, is still a huge number, and that huge number should be nurtured to have a single identity.
Okay, Arvind.
Mohandasji, if you have something to say, conclusion?
Nothing, sir, except that I fully agree with Professor Aravindji as well as Ramesh Swami and my dear friend Jitish Shetty about this minority appeasement. I am fully in agreement with you, therefore, I am not repeating it. Thank you.
Yeah, I think this is such an important topic. Dr. Swami in the beginning has said why he's having discussion on this today. On the eve of elections, I think, and what Dr. Swami just now said about the identity of an Indian, from 1947 onwards, till we have reached 2024, Indians have not been able to discover what is their identity. And despite of the government of all colors and hues, we have had government which is Congress government, we have had government which was anti-Congress government, we have had government supported by communists, we have government right-wing government, and almost 16 years of BJP rule. I mean, we blame 50 years of Congress and all that, but 16 years is also a substantial part. 6 years of Atal Bihari Vajpayee and 10 years of Narendra Modi. What have we achieved? And we're still discussing this question that RBI
and Hindu Rashtra. When it comes to there is more to it. There is more to it, Professor.
Sir,
since
yes.
You have taken some time, I will also take little time.
Sure.
This minority appeasement, way back in the 90s.
Yes.
Hello.
But, he's concluding. He's not making a speech.
Okay, he's concluding. Right. Okay, in that case, I'll...
You can make a point if you have a point.
A small point, this minority appeasement, somewhere in the 90s, I discussed with Justice Rama Joyce, whom Dr. Swami is knowing very well. He told me, it is only, there was some protection given to the minorities in the Constitution. But subsequently, through Supreme Court, they got that... some special status, these, that. Slowly, they were working through Supreme Court. Now, if you want to change that status after Sachar Committee report also, Supreme Court has given their stamp. The protection which was given to them became their right and their special right, their additional right, their status, their privilege. So many words were added to that. So, in fact, Justice Rama Joyce, some 20 years back, he told me, it is very difficult for us, for an elected government, to reverse all these things. Let us see how it plays out. That was his words. I am only quoting Justice Rama Joyce. Thank you.
In fact, I was concluding this after the discussion. And of course, BJP has been in power for 16 years, but that is not enough to say that one third of the Congress rule period, 50 years Congress, 16 years BJP. But BJP has also been doing double speak. On one hand, they say Hindus. On other hand, they say minorities. You see, till last election, when this question was repeatedly asked by the media about the Ram Temple, they say Ram Temple is not on our agenda. Whatever the court decision is there, we will follow. They never said we want Ram Temple. But now they are claiming Ram Temple. The construction of Ram Temple, entire thing, of course, that is a government expense. But who is claiming the credit? BJP is claiming the credit, a party which has been saying repeatedly in the manifesto that Ram Temple is not on our agenda. When they say Kashi and Mathura, no, Kashi and Mathura not on our agenda. Vajpayee said so, RSS chief said so, Narendra Modi said so, other BJP leaders said so. And now, when it comes to election, then they chup-chap Banaras jayenge aur chup-chap Mathura jayenge aur wahan pe wo speech karenge ki hum Kashi Ayodhya ke baad Kashi bhi chahiye, Mathura bhi chahiye, but on the manifesto they will not write. So this is the double speak which I am questioning, and we are all for a strong Hindu country. And as Jagdish said in the beginning, once it has been decided that there is Islam Pakistan, and there is Hindu India, then we should not have two opinions, Nehru and Indira Gandhi. We can continue to blame Congress. But what has other people done that is also equally to be blamed. This debate will, of course, be very important for the coming month, coming election. And of course, all parties will raise this bogey of religion in this election, because religion helps polarization and polarization helps parties. I have not elaborated on this, but we all know that AIMIM, who is funding AIMIM, Mujahideen. And why? Because it helps them. Polarization helps a particular party. And that's why they do it, and this will continue. Dr. Swami has been a lone crusader, I would say, because I've seen his politics, whether he was with government or outside the government, he has not budged an inch from his stand about the Hindutva. Sorry to say, this government has not lived up to the expectation and not lived up to the expectation of the party men. Majority of the BJP men today are unhappy in their hearts, but they have no guts to say this. And we continue this debate and other times. And I think this is a very important topic. And Mohandasji, thank you very much. You have come to VHS, Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga, after a long, long time. We welcome your opinion. You are a very eloquent speaker and you make your point effectively. Thank you very much for sparing time and joining us today. Dr. Swami has been our mentor, and all the time he has been having a very clear stand. And that is why this popularity of this program. Thank you, Jagdish. Thank you, Ramesh Swami. And I also thank the technical team behind the scene. These people are working they're doing a great job, but somehow they are not visible to the people. I thank Ashish Shetty, Swaminathan, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Tejas Naval Gul, Vikal Mehta, and Najesh Nair for having curated this kind of program. 25 episodes we complete today. Thank you, viewers, for supporting it. And thanks the technical team, which has led us to 225 episodes. We will be meeting again next Sunday with a new topic and Dr. Subramanian Swami. And if a topic deserves another speaker, there will be another speaker. Thank you, viewers. We'll be seeing you next Sunday, 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time. Till then, Namaskar. Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.